Our meditation this morning is based broadly on Psalm 130, especially verse 1. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Everyone has moments of low self-esteem, virtually everyone. And yet for some, this problem becomes chronic and even disabling. Some people view themselves as hopeless and useless and worthless with no real purpose in life, and they constantly worry about being good enough, intelligent enough, attractive enough to be loved and accepted by others. And this painful view of self is reflected in their speech. I can't do anything right. I don't have what it takes. I'm hopeless, broken, unfixable. I hate myself. I wish I were dead. And sadly, dismal expressions like these can become self-fulfilling prophecies. People who expect to fail often do fail, and with each failure, low self-esteem sinks even lower. Low self-esteem can lead to self-defeating behaviors, substance abuse, compulsive lying, excessive boasting, constant criticism, eating disorders, isolationism, a reluctance to socialize with others for fear of being singled out or ridiculed. And self-esteem can be impacted by other people, especially those closest to us. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home where I was hugged and loved and encouraged, disciplined, and taught the Word of God. But so many children today, it seems, grow up in homes where they are ridiculed and torn down instead of being built up. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. I wish you'd never been born. You make my life miserable. Why can't you be more like your cousin Billy? No wonder the Apostle Paul urged his readers in Ephesus, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So how do we approach this all too frequent and all too painful matter of low self-esteem? If you type the words, "how to overcome low self-esteem," into an internet search engine, you'll find more than 46 million responses. 46 million different websites. Some say do this and others say do that. And some are helpful and some are harmful. But many are based solely on human wisdom to solve this problem of low self-esteem. Imagine that. 46 million solutions when the Bible points us to just one, to God and the answers in His holy word. So if you're struggling today with feelings of worthlessness, or if you know someone who is, listen carefully to what the Word of God says about having a right view of yourself in Jesus Christ and about moving forward confidently in faith. First, the Word of God states that you, as an individual, were created by God and for God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verse 6, "All things were created by Him and for Him." And if you were created by God and for God, how can you expect to find happiness and wholeness and peace and completeness apart from God? You just can't. Years ago, a friend of mine confided in me, especially when going through a difficult time. He said, "There are days when I don't want to get up. There are days when I don't wish to get out of bed. I see no point to living." If you feel that way, the point of living is this. The point of living is God. And the purpose and meaning that we so desperately seek in life are found in God and only in God. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, abundantly." Does that sound like a life from which anything is missing? Paul wrote in Romans 8:37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Does that sound like a life from which anything is missing? Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Does that sound like a life from which anything is missing? Second, you are a unique creation of God. You were not only created by God and for God, you are as unique as your fingerprints and your DNA and your retinal pattern. Since the creation of Adam and Eve, God has made billions of people, but he only made one you. He didn't have to make you. He wanted to make you. He chose to make you so that you would be here at this time with these blessings and these opportunities. Do you realize how special that makes you? You're not a mistake. You're not a coincidence. You're not the product of blind evolution. You are a unique creation of God. And therefore, you can read yourself easily into Psalm 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Third, you are dearly loved by God. Of all the circumstances in our lives that lead to low self-esteem, what is more common than feeling unloved? Even at a purely human level, to tell someone, I love you, is like pouring cold, cool water on a dying, thirsty plant. And yet, despite our best intentions, human love still fades and fails and disappears. But God's love for you does not. God's love is changeless and eternal. And that means that even at the worst of times, God is still loving you. I'm not asking you to believe that or take my word for it, but take his. This is what we read in Romans chapter 8. Paul said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And think of this. God has not only said, I love you. God has not only written, I love you. God has proven his love for you beyond doubt in the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. Fourth, you are of immense worth to God. Others may look past you and through you. Others may laugh at your accomplishments and choose you last for the team. So what? To God, you are of enormous worth. And what should you care about more, what God thinks about you or what others think about you? And the reason for your immense worth, of course, does not lie in you, but in him. It doesn't lie in your personal worth, but the worth that God has conferred upon you in the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. If the value of something is determined by the price that we're willing to pay in order to have it, oh, how much worth you must be to God. He willingly sacrificed his Son to have you as his own. And therefore, you and I can never say, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, because the cross of Jesus insists otherwise. And that's why Peter wrote in his first epistle, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but with that precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And finally, you were adopted into the family of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if God adopted you, that means God chose you. And if God chose you, that means God wanted you. And if God wanted you, how can you go on feeling unloved, unwanted, and undesirable? So you were created by and for God. You're a unique creation of God. You are dearly loved by God. You are of immense worth to God in Christ. You are part of God's family. And these are the holy, undeniable truths of Scripture by which we overcome those feelings of low self-esteem. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, grant that those among us who are struggling with feelings of worthlessness and low self-esteem might find true worth in you, in your word, in your undeserved love and grace, in your open-armed invitation to the weary, to the burdened, to come to you and find rest. We also pray today for one of our students, Ashton Loomis, who was injured last Friday in an accident and is recovering in the hospital. Lord, according to your purposes and goodwill, grant Ashton healing and grant his parents peace of heart and mind. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 36, stanza 1, just the first stanza, number 36.